The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Technically, today we celebrate not simply St. Martha, but also St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So we celebrate the whole family, Bethany. And the church gives the priest who's celebrating the Mass the option to choose between two different readings. So I read the Gospel from St. Luke chapter 10, where Jesus goes to the house of Martha and Mary, and Martha is very anxious because there are many details of hospitality that had to be carried out, and Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha complains. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. One thing is necessary, and Mary's chosen the best part, and she will not be deprived of that." That's the Gospel I read. But there's another Gospel passage that I didn't read, and it's taken from John chapter 11. And when I'm presiding at a funeral, that's usually the Gospel passage that I take. And they point out how Jesus can turn a tragedy into a victory. John chapter 11, we have the death of Lazarus. So Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha have sent him a message that the one that he loves is very sick. So when Jesus arrives, he's already dead and buried for 4 days. Jesus says, "Where was he buried?" And they point to a place, and he was buried in a cave. And Jesus says to remove the stone, and they say, "He's been dead for 4 days. There's already going to be a stench." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live." So the stone is pulled back, and Jesus says in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And this man that was dead and buried for 4 long days is brought back to life. And that was the greatest miracle that Jesus carried out before his own resurrection. So we see how Jesus turned a tragedy into a victory. A tragedy into a victory. In that passage, we deal with the mystery of death. All of us have to encounter one day our own death, as well as the death of our loved ones. This biblical passage is very beautiful because it's pointing out that death is not the last word, but rather, the last word is that Jesus truly rose from the dead, never to die again. And he shares the fruit of his resurrection with all of us. In conjunction with this, about 15 years ago, a movie came out, and the name of the movie is made by a Christian group that has done a lot of really good movies the past 25 years. They did Remember the Titans. But this one is Courageous. In Spanish, Hombres Valientes. Courageous. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing. And one of the most touching scenes is you have these four policemen that are converted to Christ, and they're following Christ, they're loving their wives, they're good fathers, they're hard workers, they're reading their Bible, they're talking to the Lord. And the chief protagonist, whose name is Adam, allows his 11-year-old daughter to go to a birthday party. Shortly after the daughter goes to the birthday party, one of the other policemen comes to the house of Adam and is walking outside the house. And Adam picks up the fact that something has happened, that some tragedy has happened. And he tells Adam that his daughter was in an accident with a drunken driver. So Adam takes off to the hospital, and when he arrives at the hospital, there's a huddle of doctors and nurses, and Adam knew what it was, is that the girl died. Shortly after that, you see Adam in the house of the Protestant pastor, because it's a Christian movie. And Adam says, "Pastor, I think I'm losing my faith. How could God have taken away my 11-year-old daughter?" And the pastor says this, "Adam, you have two options. You can complain for the time you didn't have your daughter, or you can thank God for the time that you did have your daughter." Beautiful scene. We can either complain about the bad things, or we can thank God for the good things. Amen? That says it all. We can decide to be perpetual pessimists or cynics or skeptics. We can decide that that's going to be our philosophy of life. We can. Or we can decide to allow the virtue of hope to take possession in our lives. What is the virtue of hope? It's very much related to the message of divine mercy. Another name for hope is Jesus, I trust in you. Hope and trust really are synonymous. Hope and trust are synonymous. What God allows to happen is always for our good. I've created this analogy. Okay, try to imagine, utilizing your Ignatian contemplation mode, imagine that you are an ant or an hormiga, an ant, okay? One of my biggest trials during this retreat that I'm giving is that my room was infested by ants, and I was afraid that I was going to get ants in my pants, no? I asked my cleaning lady, where's the raid? Where's the raid? Where's the raid? Going back to my analogy, no? Is imagine that you're an ant at the foot of a mountain, and you're looking in front of you of this huge mountain, Mount Kearsarge, okay? And then all of a sudden, you're transformed into an eagle. You're flying high, hovering over that mountain, looking down, and you can see everything in the most minute detail. You can see the forest, you can see the trees, you can see the foliage, you can see the shrubs, you can see the stream, you can see the color of the stream. Okay. We are the ant and God is the eagle. We are like the ant, we can only see barely beyond our nose. Whereas God lives in the eternal present. For God, past, present, and future is all the same. So when God decides to intervene and allows suffering to visit us, and even death of a loved one, whoever that might be, we are going to suffer. However, God knows what's best. We only live in the present moment. For God, time and eternity converge as if it were the one moment in time. So here we have Lazarus being raised from the dead. In this Mass, I think all of you have in your families some Lazarus that are spiritually dead. You know them. They're spiritually dead. They're spiritually in the cave. The huge stone is preventing them from coming out of that cave. All of you in this Mass are invited to cry out, Lazarus, come out. Place that Lazarus on the altar. Place him on the altar. And tell the Lord, Lord, Lazarus, come out, so that your loved ones will come out of that dark cave of sin and walk among the living, allowing the sun of God's grace to shine upon their hearts. Amen.